the blessings of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Salaha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Salaha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Sangam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Salaha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo prajna paramita hridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 great prohibitive precepts: not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so, not to take that which is not given, not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct, not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority, not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so, not to publish other people's faults, not to extol oneself and slander others, not to be avaricious in the bestowal of the teachings, not to be angry, not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana, in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. O happy blessed day, O happy blessed place, O happy blessed time, O happy blessed path, O happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutiyampi tatiyampi sabaha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. our fears and suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
What shall we look at this morning? Okay.
I'll start us off. Kind of a really nice breakthrough in this one area. I've been, for months and months and months, I've been struggling with feeling tired and low energy and stuff, and it was last Tuesday, I just really got it that all that's really going on is I'm believing the story that I'm tired,
mm-hmm.
and there may be other things going on here, but I don't think so. I have a lot of sleep problems, and so there's sensations, like especially in my forehead, that are the result of just difficult sleeping, but it doesn't, and so those sensations, there's a story attached to those sensations that says I'm tired, I need more rest, and it's just like this snowball kind of thing where I'm tired, supposedly, I need more rest, I try to rest, don't sleep good, and then I get more of these sensations, and I just kind of get sort of buried in it.
And snowballs.
Mm-hmm.
Could you say a little more about the breakthrough that you had?
So I woke up Tuesday morning, like I do many mornings, with this thing in my head. I was like, oh geez, here we go. You know, same old thing, you know, I'm tired, it's going to be a long day, and all this kind of stuff. And I just, what happened was I was away for a little while with this little thing that I did. And during that time, I not because I was having sleep problems, but because of the schedule, I was getting very little sleep, like 5 to 6 hours a night, but fine. No problems at all. And so then, you know, this is happening here, and I'm like, I'm comparing these two experiences, and it's like, you know what? This is just bull. And actually, all day long, I was like, this is just bull. And I'm just living in a paradigm. That's all that's going on. I don't want to live in that paradigm anymore. I'm just going to do what I want. I don't care what the voices say. I don't care what these sensations are doing. I'm just going to do what I want. And ever since then, so that was starting Wednesday, I just had a ton of energy. And I just, so much energy I'm having trouble sleeping. I'm having trouble sleeping in a completely different way, different trouble than I was having before. I think it's just my fate. I'm actively keeping the energy rolling because the story wants to keep collapsing in and say, oh, you know, like, and we have suddenly have some good evenings, and so like, oh well, we need to go to bed early. No, we don't need to go to bed early. We don't need more rest. We need less rest, actually. And so every night I've been, I've got all these building projects, I've got hermitage and I'm fixing that, and just kind of trying to stay as engaged as possible right at the moment I go to sleep, and I wake up and I just start right in. And just kind of, just keeping that energy moving, that really, really feels good.
Sounds like just really focusing the energy for this being, and, you know, how to use it for your own support, rather mm-hmm. than having it siphoned off into a story of I'm tired, and, you know, I'm not getting enough sleep, and this sucks, and, you know, just seeing how that compares to the time when you were in another, a completely different environment, same kind of set of circumstances, not much sleep, but abundant energy, and then being in a more familiar environment, mm-hmm. same set of circumstances mm-hmm. and feeling.
And I can also compare it to other times in my life where I've always been really high energy physically and just kind of unstoppable on a physical level. Mm-hmm. And then just has suddenly changed and stuff. Okay, I could have got old so quickly. I don't think that's what it is. This number of hours is so erratic. And what you said, I think it's really true. The energy is going into that story, just conditionally gobbling up. I feel like I'm being gobbled up in it. And since the energy has moved, has begun moving, you know, I'm having these feelings that are not there. You know, low energy, you know, like little kind of sparks of joy and just yay. And then also other kind of feelings too that get kind of covered up. I guess I've been depressed, I think. It would be another way of talking about it. But like these, like sad, like these kinds of sadness and melancholy have been coming through, and loneliness. And so a full range, all these feelings that are not normal, I have lately been passing through. And so it's just like a much fuller experience.
You know, what occurred to me too when you were saying that is that, okay, so now conditioning has another thing to throw in. I'm getting old to the mix, right. You know, that might be a little bit more believable because this is, never been in this experience before of, mm-hmm. you know, of your body being at this particular age. And mm-hmm. so that, you know, that works for a while until you see through that one too.
It's true. That's a story I've been living through. Yeah. What I really like about it is that I'm grateful that it's like a thing that happened recently. I was having some back problems, mm-hmm. and I talked about this already, but there's a story about, I've got a bad back. Mm-hmm. I've always been afraid of having a bad back, and now I've got a bad back. And then I just got some help from Krista and realized I was slouching. And so I stood up straight in the back pain went away. Mm-hmm. But if I hadn't gotten that help, and if I wasn't open to the possibility that what I'm saying in my mind is not true, mm-hmm. then I would have a bad back. Mm-hmm. And I would have a bad back for the rest of my life because I'd just be believing that, and it would be probably even be slouched more mm-hmm. because I'm afraid of having a bad back. So the same thing here. It's mm-hmm. I'm really grateful for a practice that says, now, is this really true? And knowing that a lot of times, or all the time, you know, what's going on here doesn't really reflect what's actually happening. And then the power that comes with just seeing that and letting go, and then suddenly just my experience completely changes. Mm-hmm. It's like I've saved myself, or I've been saved from this not awful life where I don't have the energy I need, and you know, like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can really feel that when you say that. Wow, what an incredible benefit of practice. Mm-hmm. And that we are able to have that experience of seeing the voices for what they are, and indeed, just like you said, be saved. Mm-hmm. You know, that it's just a very, very fortunate that we have ended up in that circumstance.
And I'm sure, knowing how things go, condition will find another way to do the same thing to me, and now I need to be saved again.
Right.
But that's okay, you know, because I know how to do that.
Right.
I'm just really grateful for that. And grateful for the energy. It's funny because I mean, right now, I just got all this sensation in my eyes, and it's just full of just, it's just all clogged up. And that's the sensation that says, that supposedly means I'm tired. It's just the whole rest of my body is fine. Mm-hmm. I've got plenty of energy to watch, and I got up this morning big time. I'm going to do tons of stuff today, and I'm going to do tons of stuff over the night, and sleep better because of that. and just, I don't know what's going on with this, but hopefully that will get a closure too at some point. But it doesn't really matter, you know, in the meantime, it doesn't mean I'm tired. It doesn't mean anything. It's just something, I don't know why, there's something that's going on right there.
Something's going on, and it just sounds like in a very actual small portion of your body. The rest of the body is full of energy and alive.
Percentage.
A small percentage of the body is having this sensation that the attention gets pulled. Mm-hmm.
So that's interesting. That's right. I put mine at the same time to look at something quite similar in the sense of I feel like I've been given this huge gift. I hadn't used the word breakthrough, but that's very much, I mean, I could say that. So the content for me is for the last really year or so, I've really been looking at earnest anxiety because it's been so present for me to look at. And kind of the willingness to see, well, it's been with me for so, so long. And just really found the willingness to look at it. And a few weeks ago, it sounds so funny, it's one of those places where it's like, surely there should be different words for me to say this, but for whatever reason, a few weeks ago, I found the willingness to really just be with the sensation. And first of all, one of the things that I love about this kind of place in practice where there's a breakthrough is it's so obvious in the breakthrough that everything that came before was part of it. Mm-hmm. Even the times where it felt like, okay, this is really not going well, and I'm not practicing properly, and all of those things, that was all part of it. Mm-hmm. Because my experience of it is that, like those few weeks ago where suddenly I was with the sensation, it wasn't like, oh, I figured something out, it was just, there it was. The willingness, the ability, whatever, all the things coming together to just spend extended periods of time in that sensation of meditating.
It's just like the ground had been being prepared.
Yeah.
And all of it was just perfect preparation for that moment when you could just be with the sensations that have that label of anxiety.
Exactly. And again, without trying to do it or deciding to do it, even what I've noticed since then is that they really have just become sensations. Mm-hmm. And it was so fun. I currently, one of my morning practices is I pretty much the first thing I do is I just wake up and I get in my intention setting position and I sort of set intentions for the day, and I ask for life's help, and that sort of thing. And I heard myself saying, thanking, you know, gratitude for that, and assistance with not getting rusty with it. And so, you know, assist me to keep having the opportunity to have those sensations so I can keep. And it was so fun because, you know, it's like 30 minutes later, I watched the sensations go through and the immediate reaction was, thank you. And boy, that is a different life experience.
Wow. So just having that moment of asking to, not, I think you called it not get rusty, with the ability to just be with the sensations as they arise, and seeing the answer to that in the next 30 minutes, when a thank you came out for those sensations.
And it just doesn't mean anything. I don't know how I'm going to miss that. but it really, I mean, like those 30 minutes later, it's not like anything happened. It's just, there was that sensation, and I could see how forever it has been, conditioning has been able to pin something to that easily, anything. But there's just, right now, there's just no, it's like Teflon, there's no ability to pin anything to it. And in that period of time, it's just so nice to practice with what that feels like, to just have that happen, and not need to go anywhere with it. It just feels like it strengthens that muscle.
Yeah, that's what was occurring to me as you were saying that, to just have that happen and to be in the gratitude for it and the thank you and to practice that over and over again, because surely there'll be a time exactly. when that's not happening.
Exactly.
And but there's that experience in there of having had that you know, acceptance of the sensation and knowing that you can go back there.
Yeah, exactly. And record about it when it's happening so that, you know, when it isn't so accessible, it's there on the recording. Yeah. And the other thing that's so interesting about it is that I watched a couple days ago this intense process of irritation arise. Felt like it was triggered by activity in the mind around planning. You know, okay, this and this, got to do this, but this has to go, that isn't really working out. And so kind of a spinning began. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't, you know, some part of me, or maybe not a part, I'm not sure, but wanting everything to click into place so that I could relax and let it go. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't clicking into place, and there was really no way to solve it right then. But boy, someone did not want to let go of solving it. Mm-hmm. And as that energy continued, I watched myself get irritated with things completely unrelated to it. You know, like, this rope gets stuck on the thing. It's like, like, chop the rope off, that kind of thing. And it had been so long since I can look back on my life all over the place and see that, but it had been so long since that energy was that strong and really came up, and I realized, well, there's kind of this under-the-radar story of, if I can solve this anxiety thing, I'd be set. I can go free. And what I realized was, oh, no. Conditioning is always going to have whatever thing it can catch me with that's going to be super real and true. And what I realized in that irritation was, cool. I can, because it's like David was just saying, I know how now to see through this is just sensation. So this is just my next opportunity to practice with this set of sensations. It's the exact same process.
So that irritation gave rise to the opportunity to practice with the sensations, exactly like you had earlier with the, where conditioning would want us to make us think this is a real complicated thing.
Yep.
But,
and now I'm starting at ground zero with the irritation process. It's going to be another however long it takes.
Right.
No. And there's always going to be something, and great, thank goodness, because that's the thing that's going to keep me not rusty.
Yeah.
There's always going to be something for me to be present to.
Always.
Yeah.
Always the thing that we need to be present to bring compassion to just accept in that moment.
Yeah, yeah. Not finishing anything, but practicing.
Exactly.
Forever.
And that's a good thing.
And that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. Amy.
I had a breakthrough with my mornings.
Could you speak up just a little bit, Amy?
Yes.
I think I'm having competition with the
I've had a breakthrough in recent times with my mornings, which have traditionally been a difficult time, and I've been keeping my commitment to this early morning routine, and this morning I did not set my alarm, and I had not come up with any real intention for what I was going to do on a Sunday. It's been infrequent that we've had a regular Sunday morning that I didn't have a schedule. And I woke up on my own at 5, and a conversation kicked in about how much longer I was going to sleep and what my routine was going to be because it was Sunday. And instead, I just reached for my recorder and pressed play. And then it approached 5:30, which is when I've been sitting, and a conversation kicked in about, was I going to sit? It's a Sunday. And I just got up and sat, and it was just such a relief. It was so relaxing to just cut the conversation.
Wow.
It was just, it felt like a breakthrough.
It just, you know, it reminds me of what was just being shared about you were practicing and building that muscle and, you know, keeping your commitment to take care of this being. And you found out on a morning when you hadn't set the intention and hadn't set the alarm that what arose was still this commitment to take care of this person.
And it was just, it was great to see how relaxing it was to just drop the conversation and do the thing. That there was just so much tension involved in that negotiation of was I or was I not going to do it. It was just drop it and relax and to join it, and it was just such a pleasure.
I suspect there was probably relaxation and probably energy that just came from that, that it was available to you.
Yeah. And the other thing I'm looking at is just the benefit of the recorder. And I had, I did something yesterday which was difficult for me, and I anticipated it, and so I made a recording about it, and like a 10-minute long pep talk, and then I turned off the recorder, and then I just started singing a song, and it occurred to me to hit record again, and I just sang this minute and 40 second, "You're doing great, I love you, I love you, I love you" song. And just throughout the day, any minute and 40 second gap I had, I just listened to that. And it just was such a support. Just really appreciating that tool.
Just appreciating the tool, and I hope appreciating the person that took advantage of the tool, and that, to just use the recorder in that way. And, what came up for me is that conditioning, for me at least, it would always want me to believe it had to be a big deal, like something more than a minute. And
I forget what I said. I didn't even listen to that 10-minute pep talk all day long. Yeah. It was that minute and 40-second track I just kept playing.
But that minute and 40-second track, it just made all the difference.
Thank you.
I get this side of the room and then move. Penny?
A couple things that have arisen in response to what people are saying. I had this interesting experience. I had this period of time a number of years ago where I couldn't sleep at all. And so I sleep much better now. But I still have periods when it's difficult. Take a long time to get to sleep. And I've kind of and it tends to happen in the summer. I tend to sleep really well in the winter. Maybe I'm a bear. I had a number of nights like that, and usually I just sort of just ride it out, it's just that's what's happening. And one night I could feel I was just getting really ticked off, really angry. And I was trying to just breathe and say I love you and that kind of stuff. But what I caught was that it was one of those instances where I was using practice to stuff those feelings. And I just let myself get really ticked off. And eventually I went to sleep. But it just felt like an important moment, that I was being scammed a little.
To clarify, it sounds like conditioning was using practice to stop those feelings.
Because normally I actually am able to lie there pretty quietly, but I could just feel this stuff. And what it is, it's how I used to react in a sort of an angry, panicky, I can't stand this kind of thing. I appreciate your pointing out conditioning, taking hold of that, so that and wanting me to feel like that was something I don't do anymore. That's something I've left behind. and there it was again, and to just allow it to be just felt really like a good thing.
To just see it and accept it.
And the other thing that came up is people were talking about their bodies. is, you know, I recently turned 65, and I had a whole story going about it. I was probably the healthiest 65-year-old on the planet. But right before that, I had fallen and hurt my arm, and I figured it would take 2 weeks, you know, it would be fine. And it's been 7 weeks, and it's still troubled. And then the other day, I woke up, and my back just seized up. And I just have to laugh about it, because it so flies in the face of this story I had, you know. And so what I've been kind of appreciating about it is that whole, it feels like, who knows what it is, but it feels like my body is saying, excuse me, you've taken me for granted for 65 years, and so I think it's time maybe we started paying attention. That's been the gift of it, you know, is that it's really watching, really being reminded that I dwell in this place. Mm-hmm. And I can be careless about this place because I've been able to be careless.
Dwell in the place of this body. The most fit.
This body.
I just dwell
just
in this
body.
Yes.
That I've been able to really not pay a lot of attention to because it's never caused me any real problems. Mm-hmm. It just feels like I am being invited to pay attention. Mm-hmm. And to live where I live, here, and do what I can do, and not do what I can't do right now. And then the other day, I just, you know, again, when my back seized up, that kind of thing has happened before, but it's been gone in a day. So now we're approaching a week, and I can feel that impatience arise about this isn't supposed, it's not supposed to work like this, you know. And this the other night I remembered that I have had success in the past with acupressure, so I've been working on a little acupressure thing. And I don't know if it's going to work, but I mean, I was reminded that there was a tool, a kind tool to work with this, and reminded that it's not over yet. And just being asked to pay attention to that and live in reference to that feels like a very good thing to have happened.
Be asked to pay attention to the needs of the body,
yep,
and to live in reference to that.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, it's sort of like an enforced mindfulness in an area of my life where I actually haven't had to be very mindful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just seeing that belief that was there that this is my body, it's indestructible, or it's, you know, just going to do what I want it to do.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And so just come to this place of taking care of it.
Mm-hmm.
Alex.
I have been looking at, practice in general, and thinking or realizing that part of what I think makes all of these breakthroughs and things happen has been a saturation of practice.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost like, of course it would work that way. It's like everything Sherry's been talking about, you know, what you practice is what you have, you know, just the whole principle of if I focus on it, it's there.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't, it's not. If I focus on the thing that's not helpful, that's there. And just the opportunities that we have and the ability to actually saturate our lives completely with practice and to see the benefits of doing that and how choosing the experience of what it's like to saturate my life with practice over anything else. We just did an at-home working meditation retreat yesterday, and I think something about that has carried over till today. Just the things that folks have been sharing, the gratitude for participating in a day like that, where it's like it just transforms. It's like a seemingly simple thing that we do, and it really is, but it's just the sangha coming together, focusing on practice, you know, involving the teachings, and it's just and the intention set, and just putting into practice. I keep saying the word practice because it just feels like there's no other way to describe it, but it's just it's just been really inspirational to me to see what other folks do and what we all do and how we share that, and that inspires someone else to do something and try it out, and just this, I don't know, it feels like we're all going around holding hands at this moment. And we all don't want to let go because we know what doing that it results in. And so we learn how to do that for ourselves, and then we inspire others to do that for themselves, and yet we're not alone in all of that. It's just a really beautiful thing. It's like an extension of the privilege environment here, where, you know, we're all focused inward, and at the same time, we're collectively doing it together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I love that word, saturate. Mm-hmm. Saturated in practice.
Mm-hmm. And just picture this big sun just beaming down, and we're all just soaking it in, you know, whatever.
Yeah,
and with sunscreen on, of course.
You don't have to put sunscreen on. And, yeah, and as you say, I mean, it can seem so simple, mm-hmm. you know, and yet it's all just having this effect.
Yeah.
And it's all Sangha doing it together. That image arose of, you know, her chair mentioned, you know, walking around in a heavy coat in the mist.
Yeah.
And just having it slowly penetrate. Yes. Through, and that's what happens with just that kind of willingness to show up and participate and join hands, and
the thing that I feel like I'm having a breakthrough with is the notion that in order to be okay, I need to be doing particular things, having things line up a particular way. It looks this way in order for things to be okay. And, you know, for the longest time that I would ride the duality between the two, like, I don't want anything, so, okay, forget it, versus, okay, I need to have everything very rigid in this way, mm-hmm. and it's got to look this way. And it's funny because it's like, I see how it's like being held in place on two sides, you know, it's like, and the place in the middle, of course, is the place of just allowing life to lead rather than... and it's not like a passive thing either, you know? It's like being able to watch what's there, you know? Like, I need... the workshop will present itself. I just need to show up and participate.
Yes, and as was spoken to earlier, it's just... as you were saying that, what a relaxing place and energizing
exactly.
place to live.
Yeah.
Is that place between the two dualities and just letting life lead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
Well, I was listening in the earlier conversation about sleep issues and anxiety issues, mm-hmm. and I was realizing that it feels like it can boil down to when it stops being a problem, it's no longer a problem. It feels so simple. I'm looking at my own sleep stuff, which I've had over the years. And there was one point, quite a long time ago, when I realized that insomnia didn't have to be a problem. It could be something to practice with in the middle of the night and to just be present. Mm-hmm. And when it stopped being a problem, it stopped being a problem. It didn't stop the insomnia, although it happened a whole lot less often. And one of the ones that's going on now is being tired, is waking up just exhausted, and then having this huge day of mostly physical activity, some of it very demanding, and then at the end of the day being completely exhausted and achy and whatever, but the in-between time, as long as there's no conversation, well, there hasn't been. Conversation about how incredibly tired I am, this is really hard. If I'm having that conversation about how incredibly tired I am, this is really hard, then that's exactly what I'm experiencing.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the delight almost of, well, you know what it reminds me of is the information I learned a long time ago that people who are diagnosed with multiple personality disorder have different physiological experiences within them, could even have different eyesight depending on who's around. And it seems as though it's somebody who's completely exhausted and somebody else goes and does the work.
Oh, interesting.
And then the exhausted one comes home gets to re-register. And again, as long as it isn't a problem for anybody, it's just what's there. There's absolutely no, it's just interesting.
Just interesting. Yeah, this comes back to if there wasn't a story.
Yeah.
Then what?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and my first experience of this many years ago that I talk about all the time was when I had had 20 years of panic attacks and got the information that it was okay to be afraid. Mm-hmm. There was no longer a serious problem with panic attacks because the problem had been, this is a problem, in a sense.
It sounds like trying to, yes, push down the fear.
Yeah, to not be somebody who got panic attacks, because that was the wrong way to be. It was something I couldn't control, which, you know, I believed at the time one should be able to control everything that goes on. Not that I've entirely let go of that belief, but anyway, I was struck with the simplicity of because I'm looking for how can I, use this for areas where things continue to be a problem. Where's the place of this isn't a problem with, for instance, making mistakes? Mm-hmm. Because once, I'm sure that once it's no longer a problem, that it won't be a problem. It doesn't mean I won't make mistakes, but I won't suffer. Yeah. That's kind of essentially that the problem is the label of the door of suffering. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So looking at it as a process that can be applied to different content and
seems so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Has happened so often, you know, so much of the conversation this morning is triggering experience. And part of me feels very pressured because I only have so many groups to talk to. I'm very happy to be here. I'm just delighted. And everything around me is reflecting the kindness and the saturation process that has been going on. I have my version of breakthrough. They seem to be just like steps or, you know, bright spots that keep building on each other. Mm-hmm. I guess I was recording on the way to work and asked the mentor for some guidance and got a unplanned gift saying, no, consider everything in your environment as a curriculum designed exactly for you. Oh, thank you. I practiced with that day, and it has gotten somewhat rusty, but it started something, or it dissolved some of the resistance to, you know, life is supposed to be doing it my way, or I know what I'm supposed to be learning, you know, very five-ish there. One of the amazing next steps of that, next little bright spot was in the midst of it wasn't an argument. My husband was very, very irritable and cranky, and that's my projection. He was acting in a way that's what we look like. And all kinds of stuff's going through my head about what I should tell him, what would be helpful, what's wrong with him.
Probably how to fix the situation.
How to fix it, how to make this better, right, or something. And I finally saw what I was doing and asked the mentor for some help. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Instead of a knowing role. And after a couple of moments, this gift came out for me and for him. I said to him, I love you, and it really hurts me to see you so upset. And the energy changed, of course, the energy changed for me, because I hadn't realized that it was my own pain that I was really resisting. And that's been such a relief to see, that take that scenario with him and apply it all over the place. When I'm feeling irritated, this is my own pain.
It's to whatever situation is happening, to just turn it back and look to see who's there, what's going on, you know, to
back to that phrase of this is a curriculum. You know, this is my set of lessons, and if I choose to resist it, well, it'll come around again. But just recognizing in the form of the mentor, but in life in general, that there's so much more intelligence and knowing and support than I could ever call on a mythical being.
And that you're taking advantage of it too by, you know, picking up the recorder, talking to the mentor, and being open to that guidance of the mentor, and having it been on the recorder so you can go back and re-listen to it. Mm-hmm. I loved it in the beginning when you were talking about, I can't remember how you, bright spots along the way. I just saw this image of, you know, it's like little lighted stepping stones or something being thrown and put along the way, you know, and step here and step here and step here. You know, it's just all part of your curriculum.
Yes. Which I can't really see until I look backwards.
Right.
So I have a string of pearls and then pass.
Exactly. Yeah.
And one other piece, been having the experience of feeling like I'm sort of floating on the surface of existence. Mm-hmm. This sense of just, I guess it's another step that there's so much larger than me, mm-hmm. that I am completely supported. I guess it started with what you practice is what you have retreat in North Carolina, that phrase from Alan Watts, that when you grow, you come out of life rather than into life or something. Mm-hmm. And that has, it felt like it turned me and my sense of self and relationship to the universe inside out. Mm-hmm. And I feel like these are just random, those random lights, but they come together in a beautiful way, and it feels like being here and being surrounded by kindness, I'm learning how to be one more kind.
So just seeing yourself more as growing out of life and being supported by life, it sounds like when you say floating on the, did you say floating on the surface of existence?
Yes. Yeah, like a wave on the ocean.
Yeah. Yeah. Very beautiful. Thank you.
Several things have been resonating with me in this conversation, and particularly around the part about story versus experience. And, I just kind of had about a week and a half to 2 week period of just like non-stop activity, which I'm sure you all can relate. But just, you know, just one thing led to the next, led to the next, and, you know, until the end of the day. And I noticed several things about that. One is how much energy I had in the midst of all of that, that there just seemed to be an endless supply of energy. And the second thing I noticed was how little conversation there was from conditioning about what was wrong, partly because there wasn't time for it. And the third thing I noticed was a conversation, usually at the end of the day, about how, you know, this is just not a good way to live a life without any time to just relax.
Interesting. There wasn't much time for conditioning to come in during the day, but as soon as there was that opening.
That's right. It's like, so where do I get my time?
Right.
You know, when do you sit down long enough that I can get in?
Yeah.
You know, and what I realized was that, you know, so there's the story that I should have some relaxation time when actually I'm feeling great. And there is someone in me who likes time to just hang out, you know, who likes the hammock and likes, I mean, she doesn't need long, you know, she doesn't need a whole day in the hammock, but she loves 15 minutes here and there. And I realize that those are not necessarily part of the same story. I mean, so conditioning saying you really need time to relax, this is not a way to live, is really unrelated to the fact that there is someone who occasionally likes to hang out. Mm-hmm. And, but conditioning wants to paint it as you need to have this kind of life rather than this kind of life. And it's just that actually there are sometimes when I'm really, really busy, and there are sometimes when I have some openings for hanging out. And as long as I'm present and with whatever's happening, I can have the same experience of energy and participation. And it's not that life needs to look one way or the other.
Yeah, it sounds like conditioning wants to bring it up as a place of dissatisfaction.
Yes.
You know, you should be having some time in the hammock. What's the matter?
Yeah.
This isn't happening.
Right.
Versus, you know, some a space opening for time in the hammock, and this person just being able to experience.
Exactly. Yeah. So it was really interesting to see that, and also interesting to see that there were times during that busy time when I was totally relaxed in the busyness, and there were times when I felt stressed in the busyness. And I realized it wasn't inherent in the activity. You know, there wasn't, okay, this activity is stressful and this one is not. It's more what gets laid on over it, more like I need to be careful in this activity because someone might notice. So, I mean, somebody's going to see the result of it. Or I need to be hurried in this activity because there's only so much time. Those two things, I think, the what's the outside reaction going to be and what's the time factor will end up making me have a stressful time because I'm working more in a way for the result than I am for the activity.
Yeah, I'm wondering, even in the one where you said, is there enough time? I wonder if that's related to the outside stress factor.
I think
you know, what's going to happen, input come in from the outside.
Yeah, yeah, so that I can, you know, I can be doing something, you know, that's kind of enjoyable to do. I mean, it's simple to do, like, you know, chopping things up and preparing something to eat. But if it's like, this has to be ready at this time because these people need to eat it and it needs to be good.
And they're going to have this reaction if it's not.
That's right. And I might be in trouble if it isn't done on time or if there's something wrong with it. Mm-hmm. But then there's this whole other layer of that doesn't need to be there, you know, because so then I'm working with this. And that it doesn't change the outcome. I mean, the outcome, you know, either I'm done or I'm not done on time. Either it's good or it's not good. But that attitude of bringing to it stress is not what makes it that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And then this person gets abandoned in the process.
Yeah, when I could be, we all in here could be totally enjoying what we're doing rather than somehow feeling, I don't know, forced in a way, is the word that comes to me. And the other thing that came up in the conversation was that, you know, I've also been practicing just being with the sensations and not the story, and particularly around anxiety. And so when it was being talked about earlier about just being with that, I had this funny experience where before the person started talking, I wasn't feeling anxious, but as soon as they mentioned anxiety, it was like all of a sudden all those sensations were right there.
Just triggered. I'm
sorry. Those are the sensations. those are the ones.
In life, in its infinite wisdom, gave you opportunity
right.
to practice right
there. Right, to practice right there. It's like, okay, just be with the sensations, you know? There's obviously no content here because I wasn't feeling that before the work was So it's just really funny to watch how easily that comes up. I also had that experience once. It turns out this quarter my effective listening buddy is also a 6 on the Enneagram and was talking about her process around some things that made her anxious and afraid, and just listening to her, I got anxious and afraid, and I thought, huh, you know, clearly this is not about anything real in my life. This is just about each of the sensations that work in this conditioning.
What a great thing to see.
Yeah. not having them work, you know, having them just be sensations. And you know, when they're just sensations, they're a remarkably lot like energy. You know, like when I'm having big energy in my life, they're not that different sensations from when I'm having what I call anxiety.
Again, it's like without the story.
Yeah.
I mean, what's the problem?
Right.
You know, to just be with,
yeah,
what's arising. And
yeah. Yeah. Really. Totally. Everything I just said is about the story. What's the problem?
Yeah. 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 Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone else?
Look at energy real quick, because I was I'm tired all the time, and it's good to listen to other people's stories, because I too have the experience of going through the day being just fine and then hitting the evening and just crashing. And I noticed as people were talking, I started getting really tired. I actually had a really good night's sleep last night. It's like my, and then I could relate with the it's my sleep-in day today, mm-hmm. So I have my new, and it's the most day I watched, that's my most dangerous day, because I have also been very, very good at keeping my commitment of getting up at 4:45, and so it's just interesting to watch, you know, how I believe that my story is unique, I believe the story, and it does these things to my system that aren't really helpful. When I come down to group, you guys aren't married and have three kids and have a job. Your stories are just as compelling to you. You also don't sleep. It's not because people wake you up in the night. It's because internal people wake you up. You know, it's just like, oh my gosh, we're all just human. Happy. We all have our conditioning. The stories we believe. When we don't believe it, the energy shifts. When we do believe it, it's one way. And just pay really close attention. And I too have the content of overwhelm. I didn't hear anybody say overwhelm necessarily, but that's the word I would use. You know, overwhelmed is the thing that comes in and like pushes down that energy or something. I'm not. It's the place that I go. I don't know if it's a sixth place. You know, I call it overwhelmed and hide. Mm-hmm. You know, I know hide is a sixth thing after doing the class, but it's. Just do the next thing, just do the next thing, just do the next thing, and then the story starts, and before I know it, I am completely not doing the next thing, and I'm overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. And just that, you know, just been watching the process, and going in and out of believing I'm overwhelmed, and then saying, well, no, I'm just doing the next thing. Overwhelmed, and just seeing how conditioning works. You know, I can be sitting here listening to the water in my favorite place in the world, and it comes in and starts trying to throw, oh yeah, what about this? Ah, you forgot to do that. Oh, you need to call that person.
The overwhelm process appears.
It does.
Yeah.
And I see it in great detail, and I see myself believe it and then come back. And then I see myself get tired and just want to go home and go to bed and cover up my face, you know. Find a hammock on Mars, you know.
Which sounds like you were just referring to earlier about the wanting to hide.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, that's another story. If I could just hide. You know, and I've tried it. I have a pantry, and everybody's doing their thing, and I just, you know, overstimulated. I go in the pantry and hide, and one of them found me the other day. You can hear him out there. Where's Mom? And I'm like, nobody look in the pantry. Pretty soon, you know, Mom, what are you doing? Literally, I'm hiding. If you want to be safe, go do your thing. And I'm like, all right, I got to find another hiding place where I can still make sure nobody gets hurt or injured or kills one another. But they can't find me. So I just play it externally. Yeah, so whether we're at the monastery and we have that story going or in our lives, you know, it's the same story. It's the same process. And it's fun to laugh, you know, it's fun to laugh, you get disidentified. But when I'm in it, I'm really in that pantry,
yeah,
hoping nobody finds me, you know.
It's not funny at the time.
It's not funny. I am tired and overwhelmed and just yeah. So anyway, it's just super fun to come down and listen, because it really is so helpful to remember not to believe them. Because with my own head in my own house, it's sometimes harder.
Yeah, it's just pointing again to the value of Sangha, to just really to come and to realize that what we're experiencing is not terminally unique.
Exactly, exactly. So thank you.
Thank you.
Just listening to the conversation and listening to someone making the comment about everything supports us, I just had an awareness that I'd like to share. It's about abundance.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a party over the weekend. The last party we had was when we were 50. So every 15 years, whether we need it or not, we have a party. So we had a party, and we were it was a fundraiser for an organization, and it happened that because it is, you know, early September, it's harvest season, and so. The menu for the party involved tomatoes from our garden, and squash from our garden, and watermelon from our garden. And that was just really fun, you know, to put together a meal that was largely from our garden.
Mm-hmm.
And we set a goal for what we expected to raise for this organization. And I'm not saying these things are connected. I'm not saying they're cause-effect, but I'm saying that they seem to point to the same largeness of things. So we made this lovely meal, and people loved it. And we just looked at what we made, and it was three times what we thought we would make. And it just feels like that's how life wants to work. Do you know what I mean? It feels like that it's just always bigger and more generous than we think, and that we're just invited to participate. And when we participate, it just, it has that kind of lovely abundance.
Wow. Life is more generous and larger than we can see.
Yeah.
Just even in the abundance of your garden.
Yeah.
You know, to have this abundant, I mean, you planted the things, but you weren't out there, you know, forcing them to come up and, you know,
they did what
counting
they did.
The tomatoes, and then to have this incredible abundance available at the time to share with these folks. And they in turn had the abundance to share and return.
Yeah. And I'm not saying, you know, if we'd gone and gotten orders at Costco, that it would have been a different take. But there was just something about, as I sit here experiencing it, it just feels like we just had the gift of participating in some big flow that is—it's like it's going on all the time, and often I don't step into it like that.
Mm. I mean, even if they came from Costco, still they started. They originated in the same
way. Somebody's garden.
Someone's garden.
Somebody's lab.
The same way that they originated in their garden. Yeah. Still life's abundance.
Yeah. Thank you.
A couple of minutes.
On the theme of sensation, I realized quite a while ago that this system, any unfamiliar sensation gets labeled bad.
Mm.
So if it's not familiar, it immediately goes into that category. And recently I've seen, as I practice and energy builds in this body, that is getting labeled bad, and therefore the next step is some activity or inactivity that will diminish the energy.
It's pretty interesting to see.
So practicing with how to build the energy and tolerate it, and build it and watch the stories about what it means. with kindness rather than a, mm-hmm. that there's something wrong. Mm-hmm. And going back again to that trust, that this is a process that happened, and just let it go and try to get out of its way.
Mm-hmm. So watching the energy build in your body as you practice. And that's an unfamiliar sensation sometimes of that large energy coming up, and how conditioning just wants to label that as bad because it's unfamiliar. And that in turn siphons that energy on. So just looking at how to hold that for yourself and nurture that as a kindness to this person, and to not allow it to be siphoned off for use of conditioning. Thank you all.